So let's begin, Rabbi, with a bit of a chazara on what we did yesterday. So that's a good thing, because not all of us were here yesterday, so a chazara is always appropriate. Yesterday, we accomplished two things in the sugya here in Bav Metzi Yudalit. The first thing we accomplished is a fundamental distinction between two categories of shtaros. There's something called the shtar milveh, and then something called the shtar mecher. And Shmuel points out to us that the rules of the game change radically, drastically between the two. He says that in the case of shtare milveh, we have a principle called, based on the chachamim, and we accept this principle called achrayis tos sofer. In the case of shtari mecher, Shmuel says, no, we don't have achrayis tos sofer. The achrayis has to be written in the shtar. It's got to be explicit in the shtar. If it's not in the shtar, then we assume that the mocher, again, we're talking about shtari mecher, the mocher sold the karka without achrayis, which means the mocher accepted absolutely no insurance, no guarantee to the lokeach that if, in event that he, the mocher, owes money to someone and that person, the balchova, the mocher, comes and confiscate the karka, that's going to be the lokeach's problem. He's got to steward it. The mocher is not responsible to replace neither the money that he spent on this karka and certainly not the karka itself. The Gemara asks, what's the difference between the two? Why is it in shtar mecher, achrayis tos sofer? So even in the absence of an explicit clause in the contract that says that the lova is responsible and his karka backs up the chov, nevertheless we assume achrayis, and we're going to blame the sofer for omitting achrayis. And yet in the case of shtari mecher, the absence of achrayis proves just that, that there was no achrayis, and the mocher didn't accept upon himself any achrayis. And the Gemara explains the difference by saying that in shtari mecher, the malveh has no interest really in extending a loan. I mean, he's just doing it out of a sense of being magnanimous, trying to help someone. He certainly wants every last bit of security that he can get, because he's not giving an outright gift. We have a mitzvah of tzedakah, matnas aniyim. He's not doing that. And therefore, there's no question in anyone's mind that the malva would not enter into this halva without a shtar that would guarantee him some sort of an insurance and some sort of a backup for his halva, meaning that in event that the lova defaults on the loan, he certainly, the malva, and that's the nature of his agreement from the get-go, wants to have an ability to collect from the lekuchos, from the shibudu. In the case of shtar mecher, in contrast, the Gemara says that here the mocher has vested interests and the lokeach also has vested interests. They both really want to go through this sale, and perhaps the lokeach even more so than the mocher. And the lokeach, the Gemara uses a very strange kind of extreme terminology, that the lokech would be willing to buy a soda even if he could only hold on to it for one day. I mean, again, it's a very dramatic kind of expression in the Gemara. But the Gemara is willing to, and what Shmuel is willing to recognize is the possibility that the lokech would buy this piece of karka, knowing full well that the karka might just be, at the end of the day, confiscated from him. And he might be so eager to buy this real estate that he would waive his rights to demand any sort of achrayis from the part of the mocher, and therefore it's up to the mocher to make that decision as to whether he wants to build achrayis into the mecher, and if he does so, then he has to notify the eidim who signed the shtar, and he has to commission them with full permission to add achrayis to the shtar. Shmuel adds another point, and he says that the achrayis that's written in the shtar, even if it is written in the shtar, could go from A to B to all the way to C. It could be a full-fledged insurance policy, or it could be a partial insurance policy. The partial insurance policy is called a shibud, and a more intense and more far-reaching insurance policy is called shevach, which means that not only does the mocher declare his achrayis to make up the difference in terms of the sale price, but he's even going to make the difference of shevach, which means that if in the process of time, the passage of time, the karka went up in value, he, the mocher, if again he commissions the eidim to sign on such a shtar, takes upon himself to reimburse the lokeach for the value of the karka as it is at the time of the gviya. In other words, when the balchov comes to confiscate the karka, and if, let's assume the karka went up in value, he has to pay that. Furthermore, he could jack it up to even a higher level, and that's the ultimate level of achrayus, in which case the mocher says to the edim, I'm willing to be meshabed my idis, my best quality karka, such that in event that the karka is taken away from the lokeach, I back up that money, the money of the sale, with my idis, with my best property. All this has to be explicitly agreed upon by the mocher. He has to take it upon himself, levels A, B, and C, and therefore he would have to commission the edim to include that in the shtar. Anything that's omitted in the shtar, we always assume that the mocher never took that achrayus. That was the first half of shiur yesterday. The second half of shiur yesterday was about a concept called bal dvarim. We have a principle in Hilchus Choshen Mishpat that not everyone has the right to put forth a claim. You can only put forth a claim in Beis Din if you have a status of a baldova. And here we have a sheet of abaye. Let me present it as almost a suffix. It's not really presented as a suffix in the Gemara, but just for pedagogical purposes. Yesh l'stap. What happens in a case where a malve comes to collect from lekuchos, meaning he has a shtar milve and it has achrayus in it, or even if it doesn't have achrayus in it, we pass like chachomim achrayus tos sofer, and now he comes to collect from the lokeach. What does that mean? We called it Ruvain, Shimon, and Shmerel. That's what we called it. So Ruvain is the Malve, Shimon is the Love, and Shmerel is the Lokeach who purchased property from the Love, from Shimon. Now the law is that if Ruvain defaults on his loan, Shimon defaults on his loan, that's what I meant to say, then Ruvain the Malve goes straight to the Lokeach and has a right to confiscate the karka of the Lokeach. Again, he's going to have to prove that the Lokeach purchased the karka subsequent to the date of the Halva. Fine. Let's say he can prove that he has Edom, he has Shtaros, whatever he has. Now Ruvain claims that he wants to step up and make a claim And now Shimon comes forward, right? And he... So wait a minute, I didn't mention Lokeach's name. Lokeach's name was Shmerel. Okay, I mentioned Shmerel. We don't want to leave Shmerel out of the picture, right? So now Shimon, the Love, comes forward. He wants to step up to Beis Din with a claim. And he wants to claim that Ruvain has no right to confiscate the karka because Ruvain owes me money for a different chov that he didn't pay up for, or he damaged my property. Anyway, to make a long story short, Ruvain has some sort of a claim.
Shimon.
I keep getting mixed up with the names. I'm sorry. Shimon has some sort of a claim. Right. So now Abai asks the following question. Again, he gives an answer without asking the question, but let's formulate it as a question. Does Reuven have a right to sue Shmerel directly and say to Shimon, does Reuven have a right to have a dinu dvarim with whom? With Shmerel, the lokeach. And does Reuven have a right to say to Shimon, la val dvarim didiat? You have no right to put forth any claim. I have a shtar milve. That shtar milve acquires for me shibudim. I'm collecting for my shibudim from lokeach, and let's just cut you out here. You're not a tzad. You're not a baldover. So Abai comes to the conclusion: name, that's not so. Reuven has a right to make a claim, and why is that so? The answer is because I'm sorry. Shimon has a right to make a claim. I'll get it right at some point, but if you just give me a little, if you hang in there. So Shimon has a right to make a claim, and Reuven has to deal with that claim. Why? Because Reuven's claim against Shmerel is based on this chov, and if this chov can in some way be changed or counter-argued by a claim from Shimon. Shimon's coming along and saying, well, you have no right to collect the chov. For example, let's give a simpler case. Let's give a case where Shimon claims, parati, I actually paid up this chov. Even though Reuven is holding on to a shtar, so shtar chov yodcha, my boy, at the end of the day, we may not believe Shimon to claim that he paid up the chov. But that's not Abai's issue. Abai's issue is whether or not Reuven has to deal with Shimon, or can he cut out Shimon, go straight to Lokeach, in this case Shmerel, and say to Shimon, La baldram didiyat, you're out of the picture. So Abai says no. Why? So Abai explains, there are two Lashonos of Abai. Let's just review the two Lashonos. The Lishna Kama of Abai says that what's going to happen is that if Shmerel loses his case against Reuven, and Reuven in fact confiscates Shmerel's property, Shmerel is now to come, he's going to go after Shimon. Why? Because Shimon was the one who owed the money, and therefore he has a right to take Shimon to Beis Din. Let's see it inside. The Gemara says the following. This is on Daf Yudalid Omer Aleph. Omer Abaye, let's see if we can find it, it's about three lines before the end of Daf Yudalid Omer Aleph, and just reviewing the last part of yesterday's discussion. Reuven Shemachar Sada L'Shimon B'lo Achrayus. But now what that means is that we're talking about a Shtar Mecher. I spoke to you about a Milveh, correct? Now we're talking about a Shtar Mecher. So we'll get back to Shtar Milveh a little bit later. But let's talk now about a Shtar Mecher. So what happens? Reuven sells karka to Shimon. And Reuven owes a chov to someone else. And Reuven did not take achrayus on this shtar mecher, because we said that according to Shmuel, we don't apply the principle achrayus tos sofer in shtar mecher. And in shtar mecher, if there's no achrayus, that's just what it is. There's no achrayus. I just want to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I apologize. For both sides, I apologize. There are two Amar Abayis here, and I started with the wrong Abayi. It's a fast day, so you'll be both of me. Amar Abayi, I'm sorry. It's seven lines. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. Sorry, the two Amar Abayis, and I was already in the Amar Abayi. Okay, Amar Abayi. What's the case? Just 1 second. Amar Abaye, just 1 second. 1 second. Now I'm really confused. 1 second. Which one of the two Amar Abayes am I? Just 1 second. Amar Abaye, Reuven Shemachar Sadla Shemachrayz Lomotzi Amalei. Okay, so let's go through the two Abayes kisei there. Okay. So the first Amar Abaye is Amar Abaye. Reuven Shemachar Sadol Shimon Be'achrayus, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now Reuven sells a piece of karka to Shimon Be'achrayus. Uba Balchov de Reuven Ve'katarif Le'minei. So the Balchov of Reuven comes along and what? And he wants to take the karka away from Shimon, because Shimon bought the karka.
Absolutely.
Right, he bought the karka. Just 1 second. Uba balchov de Reuven. I need just a minute. I'm sorry. I apologize. Uba balchov de Reuven. So Reuven. Oh, so since Reuven had borrowed money, and therefore his balchov has a shibud on his nechasim, so he's called the lokeach. And he now could collect from a shibud. So it means that when Shimon bought this field, he bought this field with what? With a shibud on it. Which means it's meshubud to Reuven's balchov. So when Reuven's balchov comes now, and he wants to collect the karka, confiscate the karka from Shimon, uba, right? Dinahu, says Abaye, the din is that the azil Reuven u'mishtoi dinabade. That it means that the Balchov of Reuven doesn't have a right to cut out Reuven and go directly to Shimon to collect from the Shibud, but rather Reuven has a right to make a claim against his Baal Chov. Let's say again he says Parua. Let's use that case, which is a little bit easier. V'lo matzi omerle, and the Baal Chov can't say to Ruvein the Mocher, la val dvarm didiat. Right, you borrowed money from me, your karka was meshubad, Shimon bought the karka with the shibud, I have a right to go directly to Shimon, and you're not a baldov. Why? So we have two lishonos to explain Abai's principle that Ruvain, who is the mocher love, if you follow what I mean, why Ruvain has a right to make a claim against the malve. Number one, the amar le, the mafkes mine ale didi hadar. Ruvain has a right to say to the Baal Chov that if you will successfully confiscate the karka from Shimon, then Shimon himself will come back now and Shimon will be able to sue me. Why? Because I sold him a karka with a chrayus. I sold him a karka with a chrayus, and therefore Shimon, the buyer, now goes back against me, the seller, and he claims that I have to make good for the sale. Ika Diamri, the second Loshon of Abai, is Afilu Shelo Bachrayus Nami. Even in a case where Reuven has no Achrayus, in other words, strictly Alpidin, Shimon has no claim, he has no recourse to come back to Reuven and say, I want my money back, or give me another piece of karka or whatever. Nevertheless, Reuven still has a right to make a claim against the Baal Chov. Why is that? On a different level. The Amalei, because he, Reuven, who's both the Mocher and the Lov, has a right to say to the Mal, Velo Nichale de Lehevi Leshimon Taromes Alai. So now we get into a different concept, which is no longer Achrayus, so that Shimon can no longer sue Reuven for selling him a piece of kak that was confiscated because Reuven took Achrayus. There is no Achrayus. But nevertheless, there's Taromes. So it means that there's a claim that Shimon has on a moral level against Reuven the seller, because you sold me a karka, I paid kach for kach, now the karka was taken away from me.
It undermines the whole premise of shibud. The whole idea of shibud is that we don't care about your taromas. You will borrow money, you have your land is.
So Abai is saying we care about taromas just to give the mocher the status of a baldova. It has only one nafkamina, this tarom. So it has another nafkamina on Erev Yom Kippur. But for the rest of the year, it only has one nafkamina. And that is that Reuven has a right to say to the Baal Chov, I have a counterclaim. Before you go and sue Shimon, you got to deal with me first. I have a claim that undermines your ability to take this karka away from Shimon. And why? Why am I a baldover? What makes me into a baldover? The fact that Shimon is going to have taromas against me. That's the whole thrust of taromas.
Is this during the we're still dealing with where we're claiming Torah sofer?
Well, here we're talking with Achrayus.
No, this is clearly Achrayus.
Well, it depends which Lishna you're going. If you're the Lishna Basra says even without Achrayus, and we're holding like Shmuel that there's no Achrayus to sofer in the case of Ishtar Mecher. Okay, now we get to the next statement of Abai. Okay, this we haven't gotten to. This is new stuff. Now, I just want to point out to you, do you see this Tosus Divra Maschil Dina? So honestly, I don't have time for this Tosus right now, but I'll tell you his kasha. It's really a shtarka kasha. Tosus says, Meinaf Gemina, what difference it make if Reuven has the right to be toein, or he doesn't right to be toein. Let's say that Reuven is a lav bal dvarim. We have a principle called taininan lilakuchos, which means that before anyone, any bal chov, has a right to collect and confiscate the property lakuchos based on shibudim, we bezdin will put forward any taina that's possible on his behalf. And that's based on the principle called psach picha le'ile, meaning the lakuchos may not know that they have rights to claim that maybe the mocher in the meantime paid back the chov, or the mocher has other claims against the Baal Chov. All the lokeach knows in his naivete is that the malve here, the Baal Chov of this mocher, has a shtar with two signatures on it, and it's clearly has a shibud, and therefore he thinks he has to fork over the karka. So what difference does it make whether Reuven puts on forward the taina, even in the absence of Reuven, even if Reuven was, I was going to say in China, let's try another country. South Africa, I think, is still doing okay. So even if Reuven is in South Africa, we here in Beis Din, in Yerushalayim, will put forth any claim that Reuven would put forth in order to protect the interests of the lokeach. That's Tosfos Kasha. His teretz is much more complicated. All right, I just want you to be aware of the kasha. The Omer Abaye. Okay, now we're up to two lines before the end of the Omer. Omer Abaye, Reuven shemachar sada l'Shimon b'lo achrayus. So now Reuven sells a piece of karka to Shimon. Then yatsu aleha asikin. Okay, so this is a whole different discussion. There are people who claim that Reuven was selling someone else's karka.
He never owned it in the first place.
Yeah, this is a real swindler. You know, this Reuven is selling someone else's karka. Imagine I sell you someone else's karka. So the Asikim are the Oririm, and they claim that they own the karka. And Reuven's sale is completely invalid. He's just a no good thief. So now at this point, the lokeach says, I'm out of here. You know, you guys fight this out. I don't want to have anything to do with this. I want to be out of my commitment, so to speak, to buy this karka. So Abai says the following. It all depends. Is the lokeach really such a tzaddik and he can just say, I want my money back, I'm out of here? Iman shalo hichzik ba. If Lokeach decides before he does the chazakah, we'll see exactly what a chazakah is in just a minute, that he wants out of here, so then he didn't actually clinch the kinyan, and he has rights to say that there are too many complications with this karka. I don't want to get involved with this karka. Is yachol lachzerbo? Now we turn to Daf Yudalet Amid Beis. So Lokeach has right to say, I'm out of here. I don't want it. Now Rashi says that Lokeach could do this because he has neither paid the money nor done the chazaka. Rashi wants to cover the bases for two possible kinyanim, which we'll see once the kinyan was effectuated, no backs. So Rashi says he hasn't paid the money and he hasn't done a chazaka. Comes along the mocher and he says, look, you agreed to this sale. You have no right to back out of the sale. But the answer is no. Until I make the kinyan, I have a right to back out of the sale. You want to claim that I have ethical commitment to buy this karka because I made a statement. I'm what's called a la bar amuna, a person that you can't trust. Well, I don't trust you. You sold me a karka and now somebody's claiming that you sold his karka. However, Mishe Hichzik Bo, if the Lokech already made the Chazaka, Eino Yochel Lachzer Bo. Now, this is a little bit strange. What do you mean, Eino Yochel Lachzer Bo? Isn't this a classical case of a Mekach
Toes?
I mean, if I would have known that somebody comes along and claims that you sold his karka, not your karka, I never would have gotten involved in this Mechira. The Omar Lei, the Mocher has a right to say to Lokeach, Chaita de kitre savris v'kibalta. You have a bag, and you don't know what's inside the bag. Chaita de kitre is called a sak malek sharim. So what you should have done was, you should have checked out the sack. You should have, you know, the sack is, it's like a jack-in-the-box. You know, before you buy something, you better check out what's in the box.
Due diligence.
Due diligence, correct. And Savas v'kilblas. If you decided that you're going to buy this karka and you made a kinyan on the karka, despite the fact that you didn't bother checking out whether or not, you know, there are orin. So he quotes here the Ritva. The Ritva says that hiskamto l'knosa, you agreed to buy this karka k'mot shehi, as is, l'lo birur, without clarifying. Maybe he did a superficial clarification, but he didn't do a thorough clarification. Is then, since you didn't check out whether there are orerin or a seekin, as we call it, therefore you're stuck with the karka. You bought the karka knowing full well that there's a possibility that this karka has got many, many problems to it, and therefore you're stuck with the karka. Now Rashi, as we said before, points out that he can be chozer bo if he didn't pay if he didn't pay the bills. Tosus, however, says the following: until the lokech makes the chazaka the karka, logomar bedaito liknosa, he didn't have gemiris das. Tosus understands that the kinyan on the karka, which becomes irreversible, is clinched not with the kesef but with the chazaka. As long as he has not yet implemented the chazaka, the kinyan is not complete. And this itself is a sugya in Masechet Ksubos, Adaf Tzadik Gimel. And the reason why, when a lokech buys a piece of karka, halokech shekana es hasode be'achrayus, but we're talking about a case of achrayus, we're talking about a case of shelo b'achrayus. So let's go back to the beginning of Abaye for a moment on Daf Yudalet Amud Aleph. Omar Abaye, Ruvain shemachar sode l'shimon shelo b'achrayus. Okay, Shalobach Rais. Why does it say that he sold the karka Shalobach Rais? That's what Abai says. So he quotes here Rashi on Omid Beis, Shemedubar bi ofen shadayin lo shileim halokech esmos hammecher. Rashi says that the lokech could back out of the deal. He can back out of the deal because he hasn't yet what? He hasn't yet paid the money to the mocher. Is mishum kach yochel lachzer bo konim shehichzik kevin shlo nasa kinyan. So again, according to Rashi, neither one of these two stages, if you will, in the kinyan have been implemented. The lokech can be chosbo because there was no payment of mos, and likewise there was no chazoka. Hikshu atosvis im alokech adayin lo nosan es hamos hare lo kona upshita shiyochol lachzer bo. In other words, Tosus is looking for a chiddush in Abaye. When Abaye says that he can be chozer bo, there must have been some hava, meaning that he can't be chozer bo.
He must have made some statement that he intends.
Also, Tosus says even that would not be a hava, meaning why? Because even if he made a statement of intention that he intends to buy it, that's called a mishapara, which means he's a la baramana.
Right.
Even so, now you're selling me a piece of karka. What am I, nuts? Why should I buy a piece of karka that has a sikim on it? So again, here's the mimonafshach. We're really caught in a bind. If he hasn't paid the most, then what's the hava mina? Why do I need Abaye to tell me that he can back down out of a deal when there was no kinyan whatsoever? Not even a mixas kinyan. And you can't say that there's an ethical claim that he had made a commitment to buy it in a case where he's getting sold something that's a bag of hot air. If, on the other hand, he already paid the mos, then why does Abaye say that Yochel Lachzer Bo? L'chora the kinyan is chal. This despite the fact that he hasn't done the chazaka. Is there some sort of a middle stage in which you've already paid the mos, but you haven't made the chazaka, and therefore you can be chozer bo under certain circumstances, and you can rescind the kinyan because you haven't made the chazaka? And that's where we get to the concept of gemiras das. So let's just see what we can get out of it. Im kvar nosan alokech samos hare karka niknes be kesef v'eich yoel chazor, how could he be chozer bo? Says Tosvis that he didn't pay the mos. If he didn't pay the mos, so what was the havamina before Abaye that he cannot be chozer bo? So Tosfos is not willing to accept this middle category where he paid the mos, but he hasn't yet done the chazaka. Tosfos has to assume that if he could be chozer bo, it means that he hasn't paid the mos, and there was no kinyan, and that's why he could break. But why was there a havamina that maybe without Abaye we would think he cannot back out of the deal? And he says that Omnam lo nitnu amos aval hoye kinyan chalipin. the lokeach made a kinyan chalipin. So again, we have to ask the same question. If it's a kinyan chalipin, then that's a full-fledged kinyan, because karka nicknames be chalipin. He says, Rotzeh halokeach lachzer bo machmas ha'oririm v'toen shamekach u'mekach tos v'alkein im adayin lo hichzik ha'mocher bekarka. He hasn't yet made a chazoka on the karka. I meant to say the lokeach. I don't know. For some reason, he says mocher. Let's assume there's a printing mistake here, and we're talking about the lokeach. I'll just make a. Oh, I don't have a pen here. If the lokeach has not yet made a chazoka on the karka, he hasn't yet seen the karka well. Chazoka requires, as we'll soon see, that he has to check out the borders of the karka, the meitzorim of the karka. Hare lo somach daito l'sayim es hakinyan. In other words, what we said before, that the Gevir's das is incomplete in the case of Kesef, until he does the chazaka, Tosus is not willing to say that. Tosus says that a kinyan Kesef is absolute, and it's binding, and it's irretractable. So there's no issue of leaving himself some room to back out of the deal because he didn't have Gemiras Das. No, once he paid the money, that's called Gemiras Das. But in a case of a Kenyan Chalipin, here we have a different status. Velo somach daito l'sayim es ha-Kenyan. He didn't have complete Gemiras Das to complete the Kenyan with what? With Chalipin. So again, on the one hand, Chalipin is a Kenyan, and he can't back out of a deal once he does the Kenyan Chalipin. The Kenyan is complete. But on the other hand, he leaves himself a little bit of room to clinch his Gemiras Das with what? With a Chazaka, with checking out the Meitzorim. Li'achar she'chzik ba. Abai's point is, if he has both a Kenyan Chalipin plus a Chazaka, then a regomer bedaito, now he has a complete Gemiras Das, liknos to buy the karka, b'chol matzav shehi, no matter what the karka looks like. But if on the other hand he effectuated a kinyan, not with what? Not with chazaka, but rather with chalipin, then he leaves himself a kind of a way out clause, I don't know, I'm looking for a phrase, and he allows himself to make the chazaka and then clinch his Gemiras Das. If on the other hand he finds out that lo and behold there are orerin on this karka, then he's not going to make the chazaka. He's going to say, I want out of this kinyan, and I never had a complete Gemiras Das. So what was the effect? What was basically effectiveness? Is it such a word? Effectiveness of the kinyan chalipin? That unless he has a real good reason, which he can objectively prove called toes, then he cannot back out of the deal. But if he can claim toes, then we're going to add A plus B. We're going to add A, the fact that the Kenyan Chalipin is a Kenyan of Gemiras Das, and B, the fact that his Gemiras Das is dependent upon the fact that he checks out the karka and he sees that everything is fine with the karka. Therefore, the Kenyan of Chalipin now lends itself to toes in a very unique way, meaning, in comparison to the other kinyonim on the constellation of kinyoni karka, for example, kesef, toes is not going to be a claim. You can't claim toes because you should have known to do more research and figure out this karka. But in a case where the kinyon is clinched not by kesef, but rather by chalipin, which the essence of chalipin is an expression of my Gemiras Das, which I was wondering if the bursa is still operating, because you know how they do Gemiras Das in the bursa? They give a handshake and then they say mazel ubrach or something like that. So I was wondering, you know, now there are no handshakes, so maybe the bursa has to close down. I don't know. Anyway, that was a joke, but nobody laughed, so we'll let it go. Anyway, so the lokeach could be chozer bo in the case of a kinyan Chalipin, if he hasn't yet done what? He hasn't yet done the Chazaka. The Chazaka is going to finally complete his Gemiras Das. Okay, now let's go back to Abaye. Abai said that Reuven sold a piece of karka to Shimon below Achrayus. Why is it critical that Abai had to add this description, this condition, that it was below Shalob Achrayus? He says the following: Im ha-mechira hoisa b'achrayus, chozer ba'olokech afilu m'hichzik b'karka. In other words, forget about the mos. He hasn't paid the mos yet. Correct? But he made a chazokah. And Abai says, once he makes the chazokah, he cannot be chozer bo. Now Tosa says an amazing thing, that even if he made the chazok, he still has rights to be chozer bo. Why? Because the kinyan was with achrayus. In other words, according to Tosfos, the achrayus has a double, it plays two roles. Number one, achrayus means that in an event that this mecher goes through and the karka is confiscated, I back up that mecher. That's classic achrayus. But number two, the achrayus also gives the lokeach special rights to cancel the kinyan from the get-go. And in this case, it means powerful rights to cancel the kinyan even after a chazokah. Right? The whole thrust of Tosfos was to say that all these, you know, ins and outs, that the lokeach, you know, leaves himself a little room for getting out of the mecher because there was no complete kabiras das, that's only before what? Before the chazokah. But here's a case where even after the chazokah, he allows himself, the lokeach, room to negate, to renege on the kinyan, to cancel the kinyan, even after the chazokah, if he can prove that there's some sort of toast in the mecher. And all this is based on achrayus. Interesting. Achrayus is not only post facto, meaning after the kinyan, and the mocher is backing up this sale, but the mocher giving achrayus is even before the kinyan is chal, allowing the lokeach special rights to claim my gevir stas was incomplete. He says, he hasn't given over the mos. Again, once this mos plus chazokah, then it's already irretractable. Again, he has achrayus, but here's the case of shalob achrayus. Vu osid lachzar v'letovam li'achar treifas ha'ma'arim. So that means that since in the future the lokech is given rights to sue the mocher after this in event and after the event that the karka is confiscated, he already can utilize or implement those rights now to be ma'akiv the kinyan. Do you hear what Tosfos is saying? There's a double kinyan, so to speak. I don't want to call it a kinyan because that'll confuse us. But there's a double schus, we'll call it, that's inherent in achrayus. One schus is to sue the mocher in event that the karka was taken away from him. There's another schus in which he can block the kinyan, or to say it even in a more radical way, he can undermine a kinyan that's already been chal, and he doesn't even have to bother suing the mocher for damages, or, so to speak, or suing him for achrayus. And that's going to be the case of shalob achrayus. So the chiddush of Abai is that because there was no achrayus, therefore once the kinyan chazaka was implemented, the lokeach is out. But if there was achrayus, Abai wants to imply, right, it's only an implication here in Abai, that then the lokeach has rights to back out of the kinyan even before the kinyan is chal. Again, he hasn't paid the mos yet. But he can tell the mocher, go fly a kite, sell your karka to someone else, find a different... Maybe that's not a word, a nice word to use. It. Can I use that word? Or that's... it starts with an S. You know what I'm talking about? It ends with an R. Find a different...
Friar.
Okay, that's a nicer word. Friar, different friar. Okay. Right, it says in the Gemara of Pesach, we have to always use a lashon nekiyah. But some of the idiomatic phrases that we have become so much part of our language that I don't know. In any event, so it comes out like this: that according to Tosfos, there's a very new insight into achrayus. And again, Abai doesn't say this explicitly, but by implication, Abai is saying that the reason why the lokeach is stuck with this mecher is because the mecher was without achrayus. You and I would have said, well, let the lokeach back out of the deal because he doesn't want to buy a karka of this sort. The whole deal is off. It's a toz. No, it's not a toz. You should have checked out the karka. Well, it all depends. Was there a chazaka? Was there not a chazaka? That's what Abai says here on Omid Beis, on the top of the Dalet Omid Beis. He says, Misha hechzik ba, eino yochel lachzer ba. And I was at what point does the lokeach have, does the moch have a right to say to the lokeach, this is what you bought, it's a bag of hot air, and that's what you're going to, that's going to have to suffer with. You know, you deal with it. I don't have any achrayus here. That's from the point of chazaka. But Abai would say that if there was no chazaka, or alternatively there was achrayus, then the lokeach could back out of the deal. Again, Tosfos insists he hasn't paid the money yet. And tell the mocher to go fly kite. You have no right to force me to pay you, even though I made a chazaka. Or alternatively, before chazaka, if the kinyan was effectuated with chalipin, and there was no chazaka. If there was chalipin plus chazaka, then it would all boil down to one question: was there a chrayis in the kinyan or not? And again, if there was a chrayis in the kinyan, Tosfos mechadesh that it's not that the balchov of the mocher will come and collect the karka from the lokeach. The lokeach is not even a bailam on the karka. He hasn't paid the money for the karka, and the balchov could just go to the mocher and collect it for the mocher, but the lokeach is not on the firing line here because he has no relationship to the karka. So let's go back and ask ourselves the following question: what was the chiddush of Abaye? That was Tosfos Kasha. So Rashi says that he hasn't paid the mos yet. So Tosfos says, then it doesn't seem to be any chiddush in Abaye. So Tosfos says there is a great chiddush in Abaye, because although there was no mos is an absolute kinyan, there was a kinyan of chalipin. And Abaye's chiddush here is that a kinyan chalipin falls a little bit short of a kinyan mos. If it's a kinyan mos, then once that kinyan mos is effectuated, we go to the lokeach and we say to him, tough bunnies, you know, you bought this karka, you should have done more diligence, and therefore you're stuck with it. But if on the other hand, the kinyan was not mos, but the kinyan was rather chalipin, which under normal circumstances is an irretractable kinyan, the lokeach still has a right to back out of this kinyan until such time as he makes the chazaka. If on the other hand, and this is also implicit in Abaye, there was achrayus in the mecher, then the lokeach could back out of the deal even after he made the kinyan chazaka. But as long as he hasn't paid the mos. If he made the mos plus chazaka, then even if there was achrayus in the field, in the mecher, then what's going to happen is that the balchov of the mocher is going to come and confiscate the karka from the lokeach, and then the lokeach would have recourse to now sue the mocher. Just one second. So what is this chazok? We've been talking about chazok until we're blue in the face. What is this chazok? So the Gemara answers, Michi Daish Amatzre. Now, Rabosa, I have no clue what the Gemara is talking about here. What do you mean, Chidayish HaMatzre? Which means that he goes around the gvulos, the boundaries of the field, and he does some sort of tikkun, you know, he somehow improves the defense that surrounds the field. Well, what's that all about? I mean, we know what a chazaka is. Chazaka is called Lechazeku Kni, which means that what was tantamount to a chazaka is when a person uses the field. Like, for example, let's say every field would have not necessarily, but a field would have an entranceway. So he has to get the key and he has to enter into the field. He has to get access to the field. Anyway, there are objective standards or methods that meet up to a chazaka. We never found that a chazaka is Daish HaMatzre. Well, what's going on with this chazaka? So there's a Rashbam in Masechta Bava Basra, and he says that Magbia Meitzar, that if a person lifts up the field, the fences around the field, or the they have usually had signs, you know, that where the boundary is. Then vidash bekarka, and he does disha, which means plowing of some sort, and he's metaken the meitzar, and then he achieves a chazaka. For ukinyan chazaka gomor. Now, if you take a look at this Rashbam, when he defines the nature of a kinyan chazaka, he has many different elements, many different parts to the chazaka that contribute to this equation. He needs magbia meitzar, he needs dash ala karka, he has to do a tikkun on the meitzar. I don't know, here the Gemara just says Daish HaMitzri, so that it doesn't seem like our Gemara fits in or reflects what constitutes a Kinyan Chazaka. Let me just read another few lines. He says, Harif Bir Shemedubar V'ofit Shahaisel Lokeach Sode Smucha V'heisir Sagvul Shebein Shteya Sodos. And Tosis writes, She sier halokech halagvulos. He took a tour. I'm looking for a better word. Anyway, he checked out the boundaries of his field. I'm not sure, Rabosai, if this. Again, what I'm telling you now is very iffy, but I'm just going to suggest this Mechidayish HaMatzre is not the same as a Kenyan Chazaka. According to Tosis Hashita, the Kenyan was effectuated by what? Chalipin, are you with me? Did I lose you somewhere along the line? Okay, so the Kenyan was effectuated by Chalipin. The only problem is that Chalipin still leaves the Lokeach with a bit of a space, you know, of a claim that he could, a window, let's call it a window of backing out of the deal. Why? Because the nature of Chalipin is such that it's a kinyan of Gemiras Das. Right? There's no actual Maisa kinyan, or he didn't pay for the object. It's just a demonstration of his Gemiras Das. Yeah, but his Gemiras Das is a little bit incomplete. He wants to leave himself room to check out the karka. He doesn't need a kinyan chazaka in this case. The function and the purpose of the kinyan chazaka here, of the Daish HaMitzvah, of the chazaka, is not Betoris kinyan. It's just in order to upgrade the Kenyan Chalipin to an irretractable point of no return, if you will. Mm-hmm. Which means that he finally has his complete Gemiras Das. At what point is that? The Gemara says, when he goes around the Gvulos and he checks the field and he sees, wow, this is a good field, you know, there's no inundation over here, and so forth and so on. And at that point, says Abaye, Eino yochel achzor bo. He can no longer retract the kinyan and say, well, it's a toss. I didn't want to buy a field that has a sikim on it. Ika diamre. Now we get to the second lishna in Abaye. Because again, Abaye is saying that we're talking about a case where there was no achrayus. And now the Ika diamre says, afilu b'achrayus, even if the sale was clinched with achrayus, which means that the mocher says to lokeach, if this karka is confiscated, I will back it up, I will pay you whatever you paid, etc., etc. Nami, even in this case, the lokeach cannot be chozer bo. Why? Because he already made a chazaka. So the machlokas between the two lishonos of Abaye is on this point that we mentioned, according to Tosfos, that how does achrayus work? Does achrayus work means that after the karka was taken away by the balchov and the mocher, then the lokech has recourse to go back to the mocher, or does achrayus mean that the lokech has the right to back out of the deal? According to the first lishna, the lokech has rights to back out of the deal, even if he made the chazaka. Why? because there was a chrayus. So that when Abai says that the lokech is stuck with this karka, he has no way out, he has no recourse to invalidate the kinyan, that's only because there was no achrayis. But if there was achrayis, even after the chazaka, again, Tosfos adds another condition that there was no payment to the mos. But if there was no payment to the mos, and there was chazaka, he could still back out of the deal, because that's included in the achrayis of the mechira. The achrayis of the mechira says that if the mechira is such that it lends itself to mekach tos, then you can back out of the mechira. That's according to which lishna? That's the lishna kama. But according to lishna basra, Abai's point that the lokeach is stuck with the karka and it's an irretractable kinyan, that applies even in the case of achrayus, as long as the lokeach did what? He made this kinyan chazaka. So again, he started with a kinyan of Chalipin, and now he upgraded the kinyan Chalipin with a Chazaka. Once he upgrades the kinyan Chalipin Chazaka, Chalipin now becomes like a kinyan Mos. It's a complete, absolute kinyan, and he stuck with it. The fact that there was a Chrayus only means that now he can go back and he can sue the Mocher. The Omelay, because the Mocher has a right to say to the Lokeach, Achvi Tirfach Ashalim Loch, until you can prove to me with a Shtar Bezdin, when they confiscate karka, they give the lokeach, in this case, a shtar, and that shtar allows the lokeach to go back and sue the mocher because of the achrayus in the mecher. So the mocher has the right to say to the lokeach, look, you have to fork over this karka, because the kinyan was an absolutely irretractable kinyan, because you made not only a kinyan of chalipin, but it also culminated with a kinyan chazaka, and therefore you can only have a claim against me, says the mocher, if you bring in front of me what's called a shtar tirfach. A shtar tirfach is a shtar that says that Beis Din actually took the karka and they confiscated the karka.
I understood Lishna Basra. It doesn't make any sense to me, because what it's saying is you have an irretractable chazaka you made on this thing. And there's no such. How can you take a chazaka on something that doesn't exist? It doesn't exist. It's not that property. It is not up for sale.
Well, Lishna Basra says that right now the sale is a valid sale.
Just because he went through the motions?
No, because he's muchzok. He has chazok on the field until the Orin can prove that it's, you know, they have to undermine his chazokah. They have to bring, you know, riots that they have a din of a marakama or whatever it is.
But the fact is that he was duped.
We can give out the pages. Oh, everybody has it already?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Rabosai, I think we're pressed.